I'm Matt Costella of the Fundamental Evangelist Association and Grace Bible Church of Fresno, along with Gary Friel. And once again, we are taking the time today to consider what the Bible has to say about the issues that face us in the world and the church. What we want to consider today is something that's on the hearts of so many of God's people. We received a letter, actually an email, probably about a week or a week and a half ago from a man who really kind of, you know, shared his heart, had some concerns, had some questions that I think are on the minds of so many of God's people today. He was talking about the fact that our country just seems to be slipping, you know, morally and socially, and, you know, the direction things seem to be going with the leadership in our country and just with the culture in general. And he asked, you know, who's speaking out? Who is coming out to defend the rights of Christians? He says, you know, can this craziness be stopped, or you know, is it going to be stopped? Who will speak out to stop the kinds of things that are going on in our culture and in our world that are even in the mainstream media today? And so I thought I would take the time today, along here with Pastor Gary, to kind of answer that question more generally, in the sense of, you know, what is our role as Christians today when we are living in a country where we are seemingly losing religious freedom? Are we called to have a national voice to speak out for our rights as Christians? Are we called to speak out to try to stop the moral corruption that's going on and the lack of freedoms that are happening in our country? It's a good thing to consider, because so many questions we hear from individuals who write us, and you just kind of wonder these things in our hearts. Yeah. So I think we have to approach this again from the question, what does the Bible say about these things?
Right. There's a lot of thinking that they will utilize. A lot of these guys promote this, you know, well, we've got to speak up, we've got to stand up, we've got to be counted for moral issues. And they find a lot of the basis for their convictions in the Old Testament.
Now, you're talking about like evangelicals,
evangelicals. Okay. Yeah, they will stand. They want to stand and be reckoned. They want to stand and be counted and say, "Well, we've got to have justice. We've got to have equality. We've got to have morality." And they'll go back into the Old Testament, especially the Old Testament law, and they'll find all of these commands and ordinances and all of this to justify their position. And there are huge problems with that, because you're talking about, in the Old Testament, you're talking about the theocracy. You're talking about, you know, the nation of Israel when God himself was the king. And we're not a theocracy today. We are a democratic republic, or a republic. And there's a huge difference. To try to impose those standards, those laws on people today, it isn't going to work. You know, the other thing is, we've got to realize the vast majority of our citizens are not believers. They are not born again Christians. So they're not even going to accept the New Testament as the standard of right and wrong, good and evil. So, you know, I think for people to speak up, I think it's fine, but we've got to realize we're probably not going to have much of an audience. We're not going to have much of a voice, because they're not going to give any credence to what we say.
Well, and that leads me to consider kind of the bigger picture of, you know, the age in which we're in, what we often call, you know, the church age or the age of grace. Right. And yet, I guess where I start with this, and I'm going to build upon what you're saying, because I appreciate that. Where I start with this is the fact that as Christians, we need to realize the Bible specifically tells us, and you brought this up Sunday morning in your sermon, actually, here at Grace Bible Church, that the age in which we live is described by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 as this present evil world, or this evil age. And it doesn't matter what country we live in.
Right.
Whether we're in Africa, Asia, United States, Mexico, Canada, or the Caribbean, it doesn't matter what kind of government we have. We are living in an evil age, and the Bible makes that very clear. So we have to first, as believers, understand that's the thrust of what we're living in. And I appreciated you bringing that out. Of course, the Bible goes on to say the dominant power of the age of this age is ruled by the god of this world, right. Little g god of this world, Satan. He's blinding the hearts, he's blinding the minds, he's blinding the eyes of those who don't believe, lest they should believe. And so he is also at the same time doing everything he can, we know from the Apostle Peter, to shipwreck usability for Christ by believers and shipwreck the faith of some and to, you know, seek who he may devour. I mean, he wants to destroy our effectiveness. So what you're saying, knowing that we don't live in the theocracy and we can't look back to the Old Testament for laws to govern the world right now, regardless of what country we're in, and knowing that we are in this evil age and, you know, dominated by the little g god of this age, Satan himself, who's seeking to blind the minds of unbelievers and shipwreck the faith and the usability of believers. So that said, what exactly do we do as individual Christians, you know, as local churches? How would we answer his question in the sense of, should we speak up? Can we speak up? Is this craziness even going to be able to be stopped? What would you say?
I think, you know, there are a couple of things. We're called to be salt and light in the world. All right. Are we to be salt in that respect to, you know, modify the culture? Or are we to be salt in more of a spiritual sense, in more of a Christian sense, where we are called to be witnesses? And I think it's the latter. I think we're to be witnesses. We're to preach the gospel. You know, we are to edify believers and so on in the things of God, in spiritual truths. And we have to say, well, we have to leave the change up to God. If God is pleased to modify the culture for a time, that would be wonderful. But if he isn't, that's wonderful too, because God is still, it's the same God. He's still working.
We live in a world where we have freedoms that many other Christians don't have.
Right.
And I think it's dangerous for us to start to say, well, it's God's mandate and will for us where we're at to try to, like, defend Christian rights among unbelievers. I mean, you know, people in the other parts of the world, Christians can't do that. Right. They're not even in a political system where they can. And what are we to tell them? You know, you need to join with everybody to try to defend your rights as Christians.
That's a great point.
I don't see that in the first century when Christians were persecuted, and we have books and books of the New Testament written to persecuted Christians, which leads me again to, you know, what are we to do then? And I think Titus tells us that in this age, in fact, again, the same Greek word, in this present age,
right,
we are to live because of the grace of God. It teaches us to live soberly. And again, you brought this up, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, in this present world. I believe our responsibility isn't to put on some united front and with believers and unbelievers and try to fight for our rights and change the culture, which we can't do. I don't think that's, you know, that experiment was you know, tried and failed with the moral majority in the 80s and late 70s. I mean, you know, our responsibility, I believe the Bible teaches, is that as individual Christians, we are faithful to God and we are the kind of testimonies of living soberly, righteously, and godly.
Right.
And churches on an individual local church level can be the kind of testimonies and equip disciples to go out and be that kind of salt and light in the world. And I just don't see the Bible teaching anything other than that, personally.
No. According to John, the Gospel of John, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Yeah, we hate the light.
Yeah, we've got to expect they're not going to like us very much for the things we say. When we tell somebody, and you know, this is in the Gospel of John 14:6. When we tell people Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, how will they respond to that? They're going to reject it.
Jesus made it clear.
Be very angry about it.
Jesus made it clear. They're going to reject you because they've rejected me. You're not going to be liked and loved by the world. I mean, I grieve when I, you know, I can only expose myself even to so much of the, you know, the news and the bad news out there. You know, I mean, you could, as a Christian, you can live in a perpetual state of despair if you're following all of what's going on in the world in which we live. And I even mean our own country, the freedoms that we seem to, you know, be losing that we once had, and all of the, you know, the battles and the legal battles and the moral battles and the social ills and all of these things. I mean, I'm not a cold-hearted person who says, oh, there's nothing we can do about it, and I don't really care. We're just going to, like, lose our freedoms, and so be it. No, I mean, I grieve at that.
Right, yeah.
Being an American, growing up in this country where we are guaranteed certain freedoms that other countries do not have, and yet at the same time, as a Christian, I have to look to the scriptures to see what the Bible says about the entire world, not just, you know, our country. I don't see the United States of America here in the New Testament. I see the world, the whole world system, the whole world thought. So regardless of what country I'm in, China, North Korea, Canada, United States of America, whatever, Brazil, doesn't matter what country I'm in, what is to be my focus? I find that this is an evil world. It's only going to grow worse and worse as time goes on. That's not pessimistic. It's not a place for despair. But within that, the Bible says, allow the grace of God to teach me to live a certain way, soberly and righteously and godly. And of course, you just recently on Sunday evenings here at Grace Bible Church dealt with Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, where we're told, do not be conformed to this present world. That is the age in which we live. That's the answer. That's the answer to this, is to take a stand. And two, in your own life, in your own family, in your own circles, and with the influence you, wherever God has put you, with the influence you have, be that sober, righteous, godly, not having a mind conformed to this world believer.
That's right.
Well, and you look at, you know, 1 Peter and the Apostle Peter really writing this letter through inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the believers who were being severely persecuted, they were scattered, how to respond to those things. And, you know, Peter says, you continue to be the kind of testimonies. You're going through fiery trials. You continue, you don't, they don't have freedoms. They didn't have rights, you know, and he says, you keep being the kind of testimony for the glory of God, no matter, you know, what your circumstance or where you're at. That is the focus. Yeah. That's the always the biblical focus.
And I think it's interesting too, Paul tells Timothy and other believers, you know, throughout the empire, pray for those in authority over us so that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. Pray for their salvation. Pray that God will give them, you know, the opportunity to make wise decisions, and they will use that opportunity to make decisions that glorify God. But at the same time, be prepared that, you know, it may not turn out the way you want it to turn out.
Really, our focus is to be faithful to God, to be testimonies of His grace and His who He is to the world, and to do that in a spirit and an attitude of love and concern. And so, you know, back to Titus chapter 2, I'm looking for that blessed hope, verse 13. That's absolutely, that needs to be our continual. That's our salvation. It's not turning our country around to have freedoms, you know. It's looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And I need to remind myself that all the time. I mean, this is who I'm looking for. This will be the answer to all of the world's problems.
Right, right.
Not only the return of Jesus Christ for us, but then 7 years after that, his coming to the earth in power and great glory to rule and reign on this earth in total righteousness. And I mean, that's, you know, that isn't pie in the sky. That's God's word declaring the truth of what we are to expect and anticipate.
That's something to really look forward to, not the things that we have now.
That's right. And so with that, we just say, Lord, you know, what does the Bible say? What does your word say? Because that's what we want to follow.
Right.
We want to be that salt. We want to be the light. We want to be the testimonies, the witnesses, the disciple makers. I mean, these are the things that we desire to be in faithfulness to God right now. And I think Satan's wanting to sidetrack us in every way he can to get us off of that focus of being faithful to the Lord and what he's called us to do. And I'm just saying, with the same concerns that I have about our country and the direction it's going, I'm saying, be careful that we follow scripture and God's mandate rather than what maybe our flesh feels or what we desire or what the other you know, churches or Christian denominations are trying to get us to do, or movements of our day. We really want to look at what the Bible has to say. And I hope that's been helpful to consider this today for those who are listening. I know it is for myself, and
right, me too.
I need to be reminded of these things. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, these are things that are on our heart, and yet our answer always needs to be, or our question needs to always be, what does the Bible say? We want to follow that. We want to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to be the kind of testimony that really glorifies Him.